The new film Whale Rider is a modern retelling of a thousand-year-old creation myth of one of the Maori tribes in New Zealand. According to legend, the tribe's ancestor, Pikea, arrived on their shores riding on the back of a whale. The film is also the story of Pai, a young girl who challenges her tribe's patriarchal traditions. Pai's twin brother died at birth. He was the firstborn son, destined to be the next leader of the tribe. Pai feels she's meant to take his place. In the scene, Pai, played by Keisha Castle-Hughes, comes to ask her grandfather where their people came from. The grandfather, played by Rauri Paratne, is fixing the engine on a motorboat.
Haka, at school we got to do a speech on where we come from and that. So anyway, you know how we all came on a whale?
That's right.
But where did the whale come from?
From Hawaiki.
Where's that?
It's where we lived before we came here, where the ancestors are.
So Pikea came from there?
Aye.
How long ago?
Long time.
But how long?
See that there? Look at it closely. What do you see?
Lots of little bits of rope, all twisted together.
That's right. Whiria ngā taura here tangata o Pikea, kia pakari ai te iwi. Weave together the threads of Pikea so that our line remains strong. Each one of those threads is one of your ancestors, all joined together and strong. All the way back to that whale of yours.
Whale Rider is based on a best-selling book of the same name by Whitia Mara. Nikki Caro directed the film. She also adapted and wrote the screenplay. She's a native New Zealander of European, not Maori, descent. I asked her what the focus of the story was for her, whether it was on gender roles or leadership.
As a New Zealand woman, I've grown up in a place which is extremely female-friendly. And, you know, at the moment, our country enjoys the unusual situation of the three highest positions in office here, which is the Prime Minister, the Chief Justice, and the Governor-General, are all women. And so in my growing up and in my early career, I never felt it a disadvantage to be female. In fact, quite the opposite. So this story for me, although I know that it's the girl triumphing that is going to meet a lot of needs and audiences around the world. For me, telling the story, it was much more interesting to look at it as a story of leadership and what makes an effective leader. Now, the fact that this leadership is showing up in an 11-year-old girl is incredibly exciting.
Well, there's a very spiritual element to certainly to this heroine, this girl's understanding of her role as a leader in her tribe. And it's interesting how the film moves somewhat effortlessly between the real and the spiritual when she's imagining an affinity that she has with the whales who have great symbolic meaning in the history of her tribe.
That's right.
What cinematic solutions did you work towards to make these kind of transitions? Was that an effort?
Yeah, it always is. But, you know, to take a step back, the Maori culture, which I'm consistently inspired by and certainly was while I was making the film, This is very indicative of the culture that the real and the unreal are in parallel all the time, the natural and the supernatural. And so to be making this film within a tribe of people who have that deep spirituality, particularly with nature, particularly with the sea, it made it very easy for me to move between one and the other myself. And so on a practical level, it's incredibly difficult to put together things like whale strandings. But we did so always mindful of the emotion of a scene over and above how clever we could be in terms of our mechanics or our film tricks.
Well, this is a pivotal part of the film. Whales are stranded on a beach. Now, since the whale has such significance and to the Maori people, and you were using people from the village in which you filmed, using them as extras and they were playing roles in this scene, did that influence how you decided to portray the whales? I mean, the technical aspect? I mean, you couldn't really, with great respect, use blue screening. I would think that would be too Hollywood.
I was actually under a little bit of pressure to do so in the early stages of pre-production. My producer, Tim Sanders, set up the Lord of the Rings project. So he's worked a lot with Peter Jackson, and blue screen is something he's very comfortable with. And I couldn't be less comfortable with it. I hate it. And so I strenuously avoided using it because I don't understand it. And if I don't understand it well enough as a filmmaker, how could I expect these beautiful people that I was working with to deal with it? And you know, for me, I think the success of those sequences is yes, of course, down to very great whale work, fantastic cinematography, but really to the emotion of those people who were treating these whales. And really, these are literally latex and fiberglass, and only two of them were capable of movement. So, and these people were treating them with such care and respect and love, as if they were almost as if they were looking after members of their family that were dying. And I was terribly moved by that.
In the scene in which the whales are stranded on the beach and the tribespeople are trying to push them or heave or pull them back into the ocean and save them, two of the whales, they do a little bit of thrashing around. There's a sense of distress. Now, these are models, so did you have people inside of them?
Yes, we couldn't afford animatronics. So what we have is really rather sweetly called humanatronic whales, which mean that two of those whales each have two guys inside wriggling about. And these guys were really, really proud of their work, and the whales that could move were capable of quite extreme movement. And so I needed to really rein them in, because if those guys had their way, those whales would have been doing somersaults up the beach.
But so it wasn't quite the documentary feel that you wanted to establish.
Yeah, it was amazing, because it just meant that the way the film was directed, which is in a very subtle way in terms of performance, really had to go all the way through, even to the guys inside the latex suits. Because for me, the second that those creatures start behaving out of character, the second an audience gets a whiff of the fact that they're not real, we completely blow our gig and the most important scenes of the film.
Now, I'm going to go back a little bit in the story. You filmed the movie in a traditional Maori community on the east coast of New Zealand's North Island. It's the community in which the book Whale Rider was set. Was there any concern that you're not Maori, you're of European descent? Also, you're a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So was that a stumbling block?
Yeah, it's kind of the triple whammy, really. It was not for the community themselves, not for the author of the book at all. There was strenuous criticism of me committing this legend to the screen from various quarters of politicised Māori, particularly those with access to the media. And it was very challenging and, I have to say, hurtful at the time for me. And it was very difficult. However, two things happened. Firstly, I realised that what I was going through as a filmmaker was exactly what this child was going through in the film, in that the people that I needed their backing so badly. I needed them to know that I wasn't doing a bad thing. In fact, I was trying my very hardest to put something on the screen that Māori could be really, really proud of, was exactly what this child goes through with her grandfather, you know, that she needs his love and support more than anything, and all she gets is his sort of strenuous opposition. So there was that, and there was also the fact that the leader of those people, Hone Tomonu, who's the chief, if you like, took the time to tell me very straight that I was the one that they had chosen to tell the story, and that he said to me, "You have to be a chief about it," which was really beautiful. And I knew then that if I had his belief in me, the story, and my team, that and the cooperation of his people, then we stood a very good chance of making a very good film.
There's an interesting story about the actor who plays the grandfather in the film. He's of Maori descent, and his character in the film, the grandfather, is very, very strict, very forbidding. He has very strong feelings about maintaining the traditions of his tribe. And I read that you insisted that he remain in character around the children acting in the film, mm-hmm. Even when the cameras were turned off.
Yes, it was very important for two reasons. The children are real children. They're not actors. And Rawiri used to be, when I was a child, he was a children's television presenter. So he's a very easy way with kids. And I felt it would be way too confusing for these children to have him clowning around with them in between takes and then expect them to respond to him as a fearsome elder. Because these children have those old men in their lives, and they're terrified of them. And so for Rawiri, it was very, very difficult for him because he's a very warm, very gentle soul. But I think it really, as hard as it was for him, I think it really strengthened his performance overall, and took years off his life. Poor man.
The actress who plays the lead in the film, she's a very young girl, she's about 11 or 12, and she conveys the conviction and the strength of the spirituality of this character so well. But I understand she's a city girl. She's not been brought up in a traditional Maori culture. How did you coach her acting to evoke this in her?
Yeah, well, the very first thing I did was take away all her shoes, because she's a very urban kid, and she was tiny at the time and very light, and I thought she was going to leave the ground at some stages. So I really needed this child to feel like she'd really grown out of that place and was really part of the earth. So she didn't wear shoes for about 6 months. And I watched her change physically. We did lots of exercises with her to get her more working in her body. And a month of quite strenuous rehearsal, where we just examined what was going on in each scene and how we all felt, and to really trust our emotions in each scene, keeping it very real all the time. You know, Kesha's a very gifted actor. She's a lot like the character. She's very strong for somebody so slight, and she's very willful. And it's this will. She has a strong will to do well, and it's something that I share. And so it was very easy for me to push her, because I knew that she would respond. I knew that she would understand when I had to ask her to go back in the water again and to continue to love the whale again. You know, when she was cold and, you know, annoyed. Because it's really, really hard work. And yet Keisha understood every second of that shoot, why we needed to do things again.
There are a number of traditional ceremonies, also activities that are portrayed in the film. There's haka, ceremonial dancing, chanting, a kind of martial art involving a long stick. These are all things that come up in the context of the story. Did you offer training to the whole cast, Nikki, to get a handle on these practices?
Yeah, we had, with all of those tikanga or customs, we had the very best people from that community to teach our actors. And in terms of what you see as a long fighting stick, which is called the taiaha, that is a very sacred custom, and it is completely inappropriate for women to be part of that. So we had to do karakia or prayers so that Keisha could learn, but it was not something that I was ever allowed to be part of. So I had to send, you know, my cast away and with the tutor and trust that they were being taught by the best, but also know that was not something that I could ever be part of learning myself because it was outside of my gender and my role.
Nikki Caro directed and wrote the screenplay for the film Whale Rider. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced by Phyllis Myers, Amy Sallet, Naomi Person, Monique Nazareth, Megan Howell, and Anne-Marie Baldonado, with Patty Leswing, Jessica Chu, and Ian Chillag. Roberta Schurach directs the show. Our engineer is Julian Hertzfeld. For Terry Gross, I'm Barbara Bogave.